This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 10, where we left off last time. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10. Before we begin, everybody in the world is invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. First of all, we're on the air with a live SoundCloud, Facebook, and Truth Social taping. When we go off the air, we pray fervently for America because I am called to bring a message to the nation of America to root up and pull down like Jeremiah was told to do in Jeremiah chapter 1, so that when America is blessed, the whole world is blessed. Amen. And when we finish praying for America, I pray for everybody who comes one by one as the Holy Spirit leads, according to his wonderful gifts of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the gifts of word of knowledge, the gift of prophecy, the gift of healing, miracles, tongues, interpretation of tongues, wisdom, etc. And so it's just an amazing thing going on here Wednesday night, 6 p.m. You're also invited to come here every Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio, internet, SoundCloud, Facebook, and Truth Social taping. And of course, on Sundays, I also pray for the sick and many other things. We often have a baptism. So that's every Sunday, 5 p.m. I am in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Mercer's The Produce Place. The Amazing Grace, yes, that's The Produce Place, is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I'm right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. Now, we learned last time in Hebrews chapter 12 that for everyone in the world, you, if you're a Christian, that you are a runner in a marathon. A marathon is a long-distance foot race. And you started in this race when you got saved, whether you were 10 or whether you were 90. And you're going toward the finish line. It's a long distance, but there's the Lord Jesus at the end of that finish line, and he's going to give you a crown. There are a lot of hurdles. It's a long race. And so we learned that a marathon has 16 water stations. So we learned last week that you hydrate, first of all, every 2 miles with the Word. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he's the living water, and you're washed with water by the Word of God. So you take time to be with Jesus, and you read the Bible. You hydrate with prayer. You commune with God, and you listen to him, and he talks to you, and you talk to him. It's so refreshing. And you hydrate by being filled with the Holy Spirit. You be filled, you be filled, you be filled. And that gives you power, because Jesus says you have power. After that, the Holy Spirit's come upon you. Luke 10:19. And that is a fresh anointing. And then you take a water station. You go to church every Sunday, and if your Sabbath is Saturday, and every Wednesday midweek, because it is so refreshing. There's a rest, and there are other runners in the race to fellowship with you.
Amen.
So,
amen.
Now, he's going to turn it up another little notch here, because the Holy Spirit wants you to stir up the gift within you. Therefore, from God's heart to my heart to your heart, holy ones helping holy ones in this holy race for our Holy Father. Holy ones helping holy ones in this holy race for our Holy Father. Say that fast 3 times. Okay. Now see, you're called a holy one. The Bible says that in the eternity, the angels are called the saints. He's going to call you the holy ones. You say, I don't feel so holy. Well, of course you don't feel so holy. But 2 Corinthians 5 says, Jesus was made to be sin who knew no sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God. He took your unholiness and put on you holy. So now you're a holy one. But you're not the only one in this marathon. There are other holy ones running beside you. Okay, keep that in mind. Holy ones helping holy ones in this holy race for our Heavenly Father.
Verse 10. For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness.
Now, while you're in this race, once in a while you're going to mess up. So, just like good parents spank you a little bit, whatever the spanking is, any good parent disciplines their child and corrects them. Your Heavenly Father is going to correct you, because if not, you'll never get to the finish line. But he does it for your profit, for your good, so that when you finally get to the finish line, you're going to be without spot, without blemish. You're going to be that conformed to the image and likeness of Jesus. You're going to be that perfect church, that perfect bride of Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seeming to be joyous, but grievous.
Now, when your parent spanks you a little bit, you say boo-hoo. And sometimes when our Father God spanks us, we say boo-hoo. But
nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness.
Okay, see, there is a reward. Now, Jesus said about you holy ones and your holy ones running the race with you, that you shall know them by their fruits. You'll know the holy ones, yourself, or anyone else, that is by their fruits. And Jesus said in John 15, speaking of himself, I, Jesus, am the vine, and you, Christian holy one, are the branch. If the branch abides in the vine, you will bear fruit. Not maybe, I wish I could, I hope so. Unless you're bearing fruit, you're not in the vine, and you've been cut off, and you're a tear, and you go into the fire. So you see, it's very important about the fruit. Now, Holy Spirit says through Paul in Romans 14, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Okay. So, as you run the race, if you're really running the race, there should be righteousness. You should be doing some righteous acts. You should be a minister of reconciliation. You should be stopping at your water station and bringing a lost person in to Jesus, winning souls. So you'll be doing some righteous acts, okay? You should also have a peace about you despite the chaos in the world, because we are not in of this world. We're in it, but not of it. Amen. And the kingdom is at hand. Amen. We're already Amen. Citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Our king is Jesus, and we're Amen. Citizens of heaven, Amen. And we live in this Amen. World, but the king is right here, so we have the peace that passes understanding. If you lose your peace, you might want to check yourself. There should be a peace despite the chaos.
Yes.
And the fruit would be joy. Well, because in his presence is fullness of joy, and there you have the joy of the Lord as your strength, and joy in his presence, fullness of joy. You should have joy. I don't mean that you're hip, hip, hooray, happy all the time, but there should be an inner joy about you. So, okay, is there any fruit? Now check the runner beside you. Check the holy one beside you. You shall know them by their fruits. Are there any righteous acts? Are they winning souls to Jesus? Do they have peace? Do they have joy? If not, we learned last week, they could be a bastard, meaning they are not God's child. They're just running the race. They go to church, they have the Bible, but no fruit. You shall know them by their fruits.
Unto them which are exercised thereby.
And so that way you even help that person running with you, other holy ones. Make sure, encourage them to have peace, to have joy, and to bear much fruit and be righteous. But they might not. might not be a real one. Not everybody goes to church is saved. Ye shall know them by their fruits.
Amen.
Verse 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down.
Now, as holy ones, you run the race. Holy ones are running beside you. And you look over there, and boy, one of those holy ones' hands all the way down to the ground. Oh, my goodness, looks like they're not going to make it. They're just absolutely about to give out. So what do? You're not going to your water station right now. You're going to go to their water station. Holy ones, you're going to help that holy one in this holy race for our Holy Father. First of all, you pray for that one. You say, I don't know how to pray for them. I know nobody does. Romans 8:26, for we know not how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit will intercede for us with groanings. That's his language, the tongue, 1 Corinthians 12, which cannot be uttered. We can't utter it our language. It's the Holy Spirit's language, that we may pray according to Father's will. See, you could pray 2 hours in your language for somebody, pray 5 minutes in his language, and you got it done. Because the language of the Holy Spirit, he is God. That is God praying to God the Father. And there you have it.
Amen.
So you pray for a person in that language. And what else do? You fast for them. A food fast. When is the last time you did a food fast for somebody else in this holy race? Huh. Have you ever done a food fast for anybody in the holy race? Okay. There's a 12-hour fast, whoever's governor, without food, that can help them so much. Because sometimes this one comes out by prayer and fasting. Okay, you pray for that one whose hands are down to the ground, by bent over there. You fast for them. And guess what you do? You carry them in your heart. We bear one another's burdens. Now you say, how do I carry someone in my heart? Here's how. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. The church is a many-membered body of Christ, but we are one. Right now, we're connected with the many-membered body of Christ all over this planet, but we are one body. Okay, when you stump your toe, does not the rest of your body know it?
Yes.
Ouch, okay?
Yep.
That's why those little spinal cells go in there to kind of help you out. If you are really a holy one, you will feel one another's feet. I feel Pakistan. I feel what's going on there, my precious Christian friends there, pastor, evangelist, school children, all of you, I feel that. You would feel that. You see, when you're all separated, you don't go to church, you're all about yourself, you're not open to others. And you go to them and say, look, I understand. Let me cry with you. Weep with those who weep. Don't just sit there and stare at them. Cry with them. You know what that does? It lightens the burden. You have lifted that burden, and you're carrying them in your heart. And then they're ready to get back in the race.
Amen.
Amen.
And the feeble knees.
Now, in this race, you're going to find some holy ones who are shaking in their boots because the devil has sent a demon called a spirit of fear, which is covering planet Earth. Propaganda. Fear, 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 fear. Mask, mask, mask. COVID, COVID, COVID. All kind of nonsense. Fear, fear, fear. And even it's penetrating into the holy ones then. So what do? You go to them. You encourage them. One of the gifts of a lay Christian is to encourage others. You don't just let them shake in their boots. You go encourage them. You give them. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Listen, dear one, do you know what God says? Your loving Father says, fear not, for I am with you. I will uphold you. I will help you. And then share with them 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. God's not given you a spirit of fear. Tell them fear is a demon. And remind yourself, Holy One, that Jesus said in Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, in the name of Jesus, they shall cast out demons. So in the name of Jesus, I command the spirit of fear be gone from you. Fear be gone. Go to the abyss in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You cast it out. That's what you're supposed to do. He said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons in the name of Jesus by the blood of the Lamb. But don't you dare leave them empty. And now you look at them and say, now you have in Jesus' name power, love, a sound mind. Look at that. They're not afraid anymore.
Amen.
Holy ones, helping holy ones in the holy race for our holy Father.
Amen.
Verse 13, and make straight paths for your feet.
As you run this race, someone who's been running beside you, they've been going to church, studying the Bible, trying to live the Bible, praying with you, living a good life, and you look, Lord have mercy. They're not there, they're going down a rabbit trail. Now, not everyone who stops going to church is lost. Christians want to judge and say maybe they were never saved. A rabbit trail. Okay, what you do, you pray for them and you go get them, make an appointment. Look, I love you. I want to help you. And you tell them, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Look, my dear friend, it's a broad way that leads to destruction.
Amen.
And many, many, many there be that go therein. But it's a straight and narrow way that leads to eternal life. And few, F-E-W, there be that find them. Come back. Come back. On the straight and narrow. Bring them back.
Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way.
Now, as you run along there, you're going to see somebody beside you. They're all dressed and nice and clean and smiling, just going along the way there. But because you have the Holy Spirit, you feel something. You feel that it's on the outer. You feel that on the inside, they are lame. A person who is lame is crippled. And you sense by the Holy Spirit, they're a crippled bird inside. Everything looks great, smiling, singing in the choir, doing all kinds of things. Something happened to them. They were traumatized. The trauma's never been dealt with. Somebody said, you're dumb. Somebody said you're not smart enough. Somebody said you have no talent. Somebody said you're never going to make it. Somebody said you're just a bum. And so what do? You go to them. Look, I know you look at me and I'm running this race, but I was a crippled bird. Just because I'm filled with the Spirit, moving in all of this and doing exploits, you don't know how crippled I was. You don't know nobody helped. You don't know how I sought and prayed and blood, sweat, and tears. I would not give up fasting, praying, just running the race. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. I was a crippled bird, too. And you don't have to be a crippled bird anymore. Here's what you do. You tell them, Yahweh, Shalom. Yahweh, Hebrew, YHVH, capital letters, the sacred name of the Lord. Shalom, Hebrew, nothing missing, nothing broken, whole, complete. The Lord make you whole and complete. You're not crippled anymore.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But let it rather be healed.
As you go this holy race, you're going to find a lot of the holy ones with all kinds of sicknesses. Okay, what do? You go to them. Dear one, Yahweh Rapha, YHVH, the Lord, Rapha, R-O-P-H-E, the Lord is your healer. The Lord is your healer. It doesn't matter whether it's cancer, whether it's the last stages or what the stages, it doesn't matter. COVID, the Lord, Yahweh Rapha. And then you tell them James 5, 13 through 17. James 5, 13 through 17. Is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church An elder has nothing to do with age. It's someone who is a leader in the church, the under shepherd there, who has the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and who operates in the Word of God and knows about healing, lays hands on the sick and prays for the sick. Let them call for the elders of the church. You might bring them to your church if you have such a one. All over the world, you may come here. Take a plane, take a train, take a donkey. I'm here every Sunday, Wednesday. And pray over him or her, anointing him with oil, olive oil. The names of God, El Iyah, represent the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Lord, Yeshua, Jesus Christ. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Save means heal. And the Lord shall raise them up.
Amen.
And if you can't get here, if you don't have someone who has the anointing, the Word of God, the olive oil, do it yourself. But don't do it unless you have the Holy Spirit. Don't do it unless you believe. Don't do it in just rote. No, no, no. I'm here. I'm here every Sunday, Wednesday, all over the world you can come. And then you give them Isaiah 53:5, speaking of Jesus. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Tell them Jesus took 39 stripes on his back. Now, one of those stripes is for you.
Amen.
With his stripes, you are healed.
Amen.
Jesus says, Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Holy One, helping holy ones in the holy race for our Holy Father.
Verse 14, follow peace with all men.
Now, as you go on this trail here, they're going to be a little attacks because you've got an enemy, the devil. Excuse me. He goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's going to shoot darts at you because he wants to get you out of the race. He does not want you to win the race. He's going to fight you. Now, listen to me, Holy One. We don't pick fights, okay? We don't start the fight. But when the fight comes to us, we are not wimps.
Amen.
He says, fight the good fight. Turn the other cheek does not mean you let them stomp all over you. Besides, it's probably the devil. So what do? You do like Donald Trump. You're really, really nice, but when they hit you, hit them back.
Amen.
I love you, Dr. President Trump. Now, here's what you do. You're in a fight. The fiery darts are coming. And let's just say they're from the enemy. The enemy, all kind of evil devil things coming at you, trying to get you off on the rabbit trail, trying to get you to go back to alcohol or drugs or gossip or sex or lying or lukewarm or not going to church anymore, not praying in the Holy Spirit, just living like you want to. You put on the gospel armor, Ephesians chapter 6. You put on the helmet of salvation. You take the mind of Jesus, the Savior, the Bible. You have your breastplate clothed with righteousness. As you run, you do the right thing, righteous acts. You put on a girdle, your loins girt with a girdle of truth. The Bible, you read it. Genesis 1, Romans 20, you say it, you pray it. And you have your feet shod as you run this race. Not with Mike Lindell's slippers, although they're great, but the slippers of the teaching, study the Word. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, right divide the word of truth. And then you take your sword, the word of God. It is written in Jesus' name. And say the Bible verse. That's what Jesus did in Matthew 4. It is written in Jesus' name. See, you say everything but the Bible. Get the Bible verse. That's your problem. Say it, and that just cuts the devil's head off.
Amen.
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 Above all, take it the shield of faith, which shields you, protects you from all the fiery darts of the enemy. Jesus is your shield. He stands between you and the enemy. Faith in Jesus. Faith in the Word, and praying always in the Spirit. I've learned, because I'm almost under constant attack, I just let that Holy Spirit language come through me, and that devil has to flee.
Amen.
Please understand, you have not yet learned. You need the language of the Holy Spirit, especially now as we come to the end of this age. The Holy Spirit knows what's going on about everybody, everywhere in the whole wide world and you. When you pray that language and you're fighting, that is God praying to God, and you better believe God's going to protect
Amen.
Us from that.
Amen.
Fight the good fight.
And holiness, without which will no man see the Lord.
Now you're a holy one, and you have to put on holiness. How do you do that? Every morning of your life, before you begin your day, find you a precious place, quiet, turn off the music, the cell phones, the radio noise, puppy dogs, and people. And you put on holiness. Jesus is holy. He's the Holy One. Put on Jesus. Read the Word of God. And put on prayer. Commune with God. Don't do all the talking. Listen to Him. He'll start touching you. A relationship that goes on. Koshalamaka, you'll feel Him. And put on the Holy Spirit. Holy Ruach. Elohim, guide me through this day. Shield me through this day. Teach me through this day. Guide me in the pathways of righteousness this day. Protect me. Teach me. Guide me. Lead me. Bless me today.
Yes,
put on Father. Put on Son. Put on Holy Spirit. The Bible, the Holy Spirit. Don't you dare go out. Put on holiness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God.
As you run this race, you're going to have to be very diligent. Diligence is conscientious effort. The devil and other Christians are going to cause you to get sidetracked. Other Christians will say, don't go to church tonight, come to my party. Other Christians will say, you don't need to go on Wednesday, you just need to go on Sunday. That don't even have to go on Sunday. Don't read your Bible all the time. They'll say, oh, don't go over the top. You've got to be diligent and focused, okay? The Bible has a lot to say about diligence, conscientious effort. In Proverbs 22, verse 29, see a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. And man means women too. See a person diligent in God's business. Remember Jesus said, didn't you know I'd be about my Father's business?
Yep.
Whether you're in a secular job, whether you're in school, everything about your life and your prayer time, your social life, your eating, your drinking, your working, your praying, whatever it is about God's business. Diligent. And you'll stand before kings. You know when we're going to do that? In the millennium. That day with the Lord. There's a dock. Other kings, and you'll be able to stand with them.
Amen.
And not mean men. You're not going to have to stand with a devil's crowd.
Amen. Yep.
Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4 says, the diligent hand maketh rich. You say, what? Now, we're not talking about money. Some of the poorest people I know are very, very rich. You are rich only if you are in God's perfect will right now. Now, sometimes it's here now, and some years later, another place. Everybody, right now, there's a place in God's body for you to be. I don't mean physically. There's a spiritual place for you to be. You are only rich if you're in God's will. You did not come here to do your will. You're sent here to do God's will. The only rich person is God's will. And when you're in God's will, He's going to provide everything anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, ooh. The richest people in the world don't own anything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Proverbs 11, verse 27. To him that diligently seeketh good, the man that diligently seeketh good, he procureth favor. You conscientious effort. You seek good, God's good, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, prayer, winning souls, growing, fellowshipping with Him, doing exploits, having the full measure of anointing, and you get favor with God.
Amen.
And you get favor with man.
Amen.
Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled.
As you go along this race, sometimes other holy ones are going to hurt you. Christians hurt other Christians. What do you do? You're going to get a bitterness there? Deuteronomy chapter 29 verse 18 says, lest at any time you bear a root of gall or wormwood. Gall is bitterness. Wormwood. In Revelation, it says that the star is going to fall from heaven and his name is Wormwood. That is the Antichrist who comes before Jesus. He was Lucifer in the first earth days the world then was. He's called Morning Star. Revelation 12, Michael the Archangel is going to kick him out, that star, and he's coming back. His name is Wormwood. He's bitter. He's bitter because he always wanted to be God. He's bitter against you. So, when other people in the race hurt you, remember this. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know your heart. Let's just do like Jesus did on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let's do like Stephen, the martyr in Acts. Lay no charge against them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If Joe Biden and Obama and Nancy and Chuck and Adam and all those knew what they were doing, and the lying media there, CNN, MSNBC, if they knew what they were doing to President Donald John Trump, whom God has appointed in this country, if they knew what they were doing with the lies, they would not do that. Because they would know that all liars walk into the lake of fire unless you repent. They don't know that. Now, we don't love them. I mean, we don't hate them, but we don't agree with them. We pray against what they're doing, but they don't know what they're doing. And that Christian who hurts you, they don't know. They don't know your heart. So forgive them. Because if you don't, that can cause a real sickness. See, many people who have cancer have held a grudge. You just didn't let it go. Arthritis, bursitis, paralysis, strokes, cancer, a lot of these things are root of bitterness. So let it go.
Amen.
Let it go. Let it go.
Amen.
Holy ones, amen. Helping holy ones in this holy race for our holy Father, I pray you are blessed.
Amen.
Amen.
Let me introduce to you the owner of the Produce Place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm very blessed after that, Miss Sherry.
That's a good one, isn't it? To God be the glory.
Amen.
His word is good. Well, David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in a bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Revelations 22:14.
Absolutely. Straight and narrow gate there. That's right. Everybody get back on the straight and narrow path. Thank you, Scott. That's great. Great, Scott. We did not collude. Before I pray for healing all over the world, the Lord Jesus died for you. Won't you be saved? Pray this prayer with me and mean it, and he'll save you. Here we go. Mean it with your heart. Almighty God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
Almighty God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I turn from them.
I turn from them.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Save my soul, Lord Jesus.
Save my soul, Lord Jesus.
Wash all my sins away with your precious blood.
Wash all my sins away with your precious blood.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Tell me where you want me to be in your church.
Tell me where you want me to be in your church.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
I confess with my mouth.
I confess with my mouth
that Jesus is my Lord.
That Jesus is my Lord.
That Jesus is my Savior.
That Jesus is my Savior.
I accept Jesus.
I accept Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 right now, for those of you in cyberspace, everybody's happy in here. It Romans tells us that with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. You need to tell someone, death and life in the power of the tongue. You just came alive, so tell someone. Tell a lot of people. You also may tell me. In a little while, Scott, my announcer, will give you my telephone number. Feel free to call that number. It's my voicemail. Leave a confession there, and when I get it, I'll pray for you. And welcome to the family of God. Now read your Bible every day for the rest of your life. If you're a brand new Christian, start with the Gospel of John and then pray. You can call him Father now. You couldn't call him that. Now he's your Father.
Amen.
Father, in Jesus' name, by the Holy Spirit, and pray every day. And just go to church somewhere where the Bible is taught one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line, and where the Holy Spirit is powerful, and where they have times for anointing, for healing and deliverance and so forth. So find that. You're always welcome to come here. Take a plane, take a train, take a donkey. Here we're here every Sunday and every Wednesday. Okay. You also may email me. You may email me your confession. You may email me your prayer request. You may email me your praise reports. You may email and just tell me you love me. By the way, all over the world, I love those little like it signs, you know, like it. I love it. I like those. Do that some more, okay? It makes me feel good. I love you too. Here's my email. Sherry, Shari, Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. Again, Sherry Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. The G is for God. I feel led today to pray for the pancreas. See, you don't know it's your pancreas, someone out there, okay? You think it's your stomach. It's kind of like upset there, and it kind of upsets your intestines there. Of course, Shalimaka, it's the pancreas. So we pray for the pancreas. O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing wings. Let the pancreas release those juices, those enzymes that break down the fat and break down the food so it goes into the intestine properly. So there can be perfect circulation, perfect assimilation, perfect elimination. Somebody's got it. The pancreas is being healed. The intestines are being healed. And now your stomach is at ease in the name and the power of Jesus. To God be the glory.
Amen.
We all say,
amen.
I agree in Jesus' name. All over the world, I love you so much. I feel your spirit. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend in the whole wide world. Yes, I am Sherry Medlock. But your best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. No greater love is this than a man lay down his life for his friend. Jesus died, shed his blood for the remission of your sins. He arose from the dead. Love him. Give your life to him. Nothing else counts. He's all that matters.
Yeah.
You want to finish that race and get that crown from him. You want to hear him say, well done. Give it all up for him. You'll never regret it. I love you too with all my heart. I'm looking forward to the next time. All over the world and in here, we get together as a family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
And your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Get hard, and it's hard to find the truth in all the lies.
Yeah.
just say Jesus. When I'm losing, when I'm broken, and when I'm sinking like a stone, and it feels like I'm alone, I will worship you. And when I'm so scared, life seems unfair. When I'm tired and lose my way, then I'm feeling so ashamed, I will worship you. You are the anchor to my soul. Draw me to you and don't let go.
Healing. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound? On WMIE 91.5 FM.
When the mountains look so big. Just point me to the top and I'd go over, over, looking for the very best that could be. So what is this thing I see going on inside of me when it comes to the grace of God? Sometimes it's like I'm playing game one, standing in the middle of the Grand Canyon. I'm eating candy, sitting at a gourmet feast. I'm waiting in a puddle where I could be swimming in the ocean. Tell me.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
God has spoken and He has not stuttered on what marriage and family is and how it is to function.
Dr. Tony Evans says we need to stand with God and stop undermining His design and purpose.
Don't give me the stuff that we shouldn't get involved in that. You better get involved in that, because the saving of the family is the saving of the culture.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. The family is coming under attack these days, much of it from a redefinition based on society's thoughts and whims, not God's divine standards. Well, today, Dr. Evans examines the vital connection between God, family, and our civic well-being. Let's join him as he begins.
Today, we're living with kingdoms in conflict, where there are kingdoms that are ripping at the fabric of the family. The family is the first institution established by God that would serve as the foundation for the well-being of society and civilization. Like pouring a foundation in a building will determine the stability of what you build on it. When God established the family, He was establishing the foundation upon which civilization and society would be ordered and properly built. When the foundation of the family is shaken, cracked, and broken, the society that rests upon it will be in grave danger. As it has been said, I repeat, the saga of a nation is the saga of its families writ large. Whoever owns the family owns the future. When the family structure breaks down, all manner of calamity and chaos enter into society. When the family breaks down, crime is going to go up. When the family breaks down, poverty is going to go up. When the family breaks down, abuse is going to go up. When the family is misdefined, confusion is going to set in. It is the singular role of civil government when it comes to the family to promote and protect the family as God created it to be. When wrong definitions or false definitions or undermining definitions take place in the civil society that bucks against the creation of God when it comes to family, you can bet your bottom dollar